And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Let us pray. Holy Father, cause us to see, in fact, who Christ is and what he came to do, that we would better appreciate this Advent season and his birth and his life. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. The baby Jesus was appointed to a special task, often overlooked by the world's celebration of Christmas. 3 points that can be made. First, the baby was appointed to divide the human race for the blessing of some, but for the judgment of others. Second, he was appointed to be a sign spoken against so that the secrets of all hearts would be revealed. And finally, with Simeon, he proved to be a prince of peace to this old man facing eternity. So first, the baby was appointed to divide the human race to the blessing of some, but the judgment of others. That's a pretty sobering thought, isn't it, for Christmas? But this is what the prophet Simeon said to his parents when the baby was being circumcised in the temple. You just don't find that kind of theme on Christmas cards these days. This child set for the fallen, rising again of many in Israel. That word set here means to appoint. He was appointed for this task. And if he was appointed for it, then someone appointed him. His father. This word denotes purpose. That the baby's appointed purpose by God was for that. Christ's ministry while on earth was to the Jews, not to the Gentiles, at least not at first. The Gentiles would come later after his resurrection, when his ministry to the nations, Gentiles, nations, same thing. When his ministry to the nations began, and then he would do much the same as with the Jews. His mission would then continue to the nations through his Holy Spirit. In John 14:16, he tells his disciples that he will give them another comforter, a consoler. Another comforter. In the original language, that word another means one who is like me. Some people think of the Holy Spirit today as kind of an impersonal force. But to show you how closely Christ identified himself with the Holy Spirit, he says immediately afterwards, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Well, who's he saying is going to come to them, himself or the Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes, both. If his Spirit is going to come to us and be Emmanuel and going to be God with us, then according to him, he is going to come to us. And so after his death and resurrection, through the Spirit, he continues his ministry to the nations of the world, and his ministry is that of dividing not just Israel now, but to the peoples of the nations into two divisions. A lot of people today, when they hear the gospel, they respond with neutrality or with no decision, or they respond with ambivalence. Well, maybe what you're saying is true, maybe it's not. Honestly, I really don't think that much about religion anyway. It's just not my thing. But the baby's commission was to divide all humanity into these two destinies, including those who really don't give it much thought. For example, Matthew 12:30, where Christ said, he that is not with me is against me. And there are those today who would respond with, well, I'm not against him. I just don't give religion that much thought. But Jesus said that those by definition are against him if they're not for him. And you see this much more clearly in the Gospels and Israelite society, how that just his presence and his words created violent divisions. But in certain societies, including ours here today, the division may seem less clear-cut, at least to the human observer. This is partly due to a climate of tolerance that still exists in this country, tolerance for almost anything, even if there still is an intolerance, but it's masked over. But in the eyes of God, this division does exist. For example, again, Matthew 10:34, where Christ said as follows, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword, to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." This is not a popular Christmas card theme, I admit. So then what did the angels mean when they said what they said to the shepherds? Where we read, "Suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." On earth peace. "Goodwill towards men." They speak of peace. That's in Luke chapter 2. Well, peace for some. Yes, peace as God defines peace, as God defines peace, as He makes peace. But the Prince of Peace does not bring peace indiscriminately to every human being, despite how people may interpret your Christmas card. It wasn't what this baby was commissioned to do, and it still isn't. Our second point is this. The baby was appointed to be a sign spoken against in order that the secrets of all hearts be revealed. That's also what Simeon said. He said, "And for a sign which will be spoken against," he said. By sign he means something or someone that was to be conspicuous, something unable to be ignored. And according to old Simeon, there is a purpose for that as well. Next verse. That, in other words, so that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed. Well, now, we saw this early on with Herod, King Herod. Herod hears of the birth of this king of the Jews from travelers outside his country, from far away, the Magi from far away. Now, Herod's title already is King of the Jews. And now he hears of the birth of this rival. Luke 2, verse 3 says Herod was, quote, "troubled, and all Jerusalem with him," unquote. And so the power structure of the city feels threatened by this baby. And Herod hears that these visitors, these magi from the east, want to worship this king in Bethlehem. And so he says to them when they find them, they're to send him word. Quote, when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also," unquote. It's Matthew 2. So he puts on a false piety, but he has murder in his heart. So already this baby is fulfilling what he's been put on earth to do. And he's just an infant. What was it about Christ that enraged so many people? He himself tells us. He tells us in John chapter 3. Christ here, speaking as an adult, speaks of his ongoing commission. That is, what he, from a baby, was put on earth to do. He said, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God." He speaks of himself as light coming into the world. And that's what that's why his haters responded the way they did. Now, that may seem like a sad commentary on human nature, but that's because that's what it is. It is a sad commentary on human nature because in our natural estate, in the natural estate of natural man, He requires a Savior from sin. That was part of this baby's commission as well, as a sign spoken against by everyone. Now many were drawn to him because he is light. Christ is called light. He's also called the Word of God. Revelation 19:13 says that. It actually says that that is his name, and his name is the Word of God. That's how John's gospel begins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's a statement that if we were discussing something in creation, it would make no sense. It would make no sense, but in discussing the triune God, the Trinity, it makes perfect sense. And then notice that John chapter 3, he refers to the Word as He. Not it. Not something inanimate, but He. All things, it says, were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 about this Word of God. It says the Word is quick and powerful. And that word quick here, that doesn't mean rapidly, it means alive. The way we'd speak, for instance, of a quickening spirit, or the way a mother first feels the movements of the baby in her womb. It's called a quickening. And so Hebrews 4:12 tells us the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing asunder. Notice the word. Dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then it speaks of that word as He. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now, is this passage talking about the written Word of God, or is it talking about Jesus? Well, it is true of both, but here it's talking about Christ. Not everyone likes the fact that Jesus sees everything about a person, even his embarrassing things, even the unsavory things. John chapter 2, 24 and 25 says that He knew all men, and He knew what was in man. It says that he did not trust them because of that. And some people will hate Him for revealing to them who they really are. But you see, it's for the benefit of His people, because if we know who we are, then God still accepts us. He's seeking to help us. He would have, however, the patient know that the patient needs a physician, or else the patient will not accept the doctor. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, they were repulsed by Him, but others were drawn to Him that they might be made whole and that they might be made complete. And this, too, is why this baby came into the world. Our final point is this. With Simeon, this child proved to be a prince of peace. He proved to be a prince of peace to this old man facing eternity. And here he is, Simeon, waiting in the temple for what the scriptures call the consolation of Israel. That word consolation means comforter. The word used in the original language is paraklesis. Maybe you've heard the word paraclete from time to time, that the word that is also used of the Holy Spirit. Paraklesis literally means a calling to one's side, and it refers to a consoler who comes alongside someone who ordinarily would be anxious or fearful. The word comforter is an alternate translation. It's taken from exactly the same word. The word is used of the Spirit. The word is also used of the long-awaited Messiah, years before He came. And the ancient Jewish custom was to, if you wanted to be taken seriously, to swear by the consolation of Israel. And by that, what they meant was the Messiah who was yet to come, whoever He would be. They didn't know it was Jesus, and they weren't prepared for that kind of comforter. So now picture this. Here he is, Simeon, old man, waiting in the temple, and was promised that he wouldn't see death until he had first seen the consolation of Israel. And when at last he sees him, when at last he sees this baby, he then tells the Lord that he's ready to go, he's ready to die. That is to say, he would not have been, he would not be prepared to die unless the consolation of Israel, unless the comforter came to him, came alongside him, and comforted him. Same with us. And this, according to Christ, is what the Comforter is commissioned to do as well. Now, the Jews were looking for a political deliverer who would give them comfort in their situation with the Romans. They thought that the Romans were their main enemy. Simeon knew that not the Romans, but something else was the enemy. And David as well knew that it was something else. What was that something else? It was death. King David, 1,000 years before Christ, describes this enemy in the 23rd Psalm. And elsewhere in Scripture, the enemy is described as the last enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. This is what Christ came to destroy. This is what this baby was born into the world to do. In the 23rd Psalm, David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We don't have a baby with us now. We don't have a Jesus who is now physically with us, but his spirit is with us. According to the words of Christ, to have his spirit with us is to have him, to have his spirit alongside of us. If we have his spirit, we have him. And where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of us. So in conclusion, we've seen that this baby was appointed to divide the human race, to be a blessing for some, but judgment to others. We've seen that he was appointed to be a sign spoken against so that the secrets of the hearts be revealed. And finally, as with Simeon, he proved to be a prince of peace to this man about to face eternity. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you for this gift of this child who has come to be our comforter, to come alongside of us and console us though we face even the valley of the shadow of death. In Christ's name we thank you. Amen.